The path to a better life begins with a simple step. Empower Radio presents Simple Steps, Real Change with Cheryl Maloney. Empower Radio.
EmpowerRadio.com.
Here's your host, Cheryl Maloney.
Wanted to find yourself, discover your passion, your calling, but so far nothing's speaking to you? Do you keep hearing about life being a journey, but you figured you know by now where you were going? Well, tonight's guest, soul stylist Sally Miller, will share how she has made her life into an adventurous smorgasbord, and how by embracing life's transitions, you too can enjoy every moment and every change. We are live tonight. We're taking calls. So if you want to talk to Sally, the call-in number is 248-809-3475. Again, that's 248-809-3475. Or you can email me at simplesteps@me.com. First up, though, tonight is the simple step for starting over. So often when we come to the end of a relationship or a job or some other place in life where we never expected or wanted to be, we think that we're finished and we'll never enjoy those things again. The truth is, we're only finished if we think we are. And that type of negative thinking starts a downward spiral to a place we don't need to go to. If you feel you're on your way down, then it's time to slam on the brakes. You can do that with a simple word, no. For example, no, I'm not going to think that way anymore. Or no, that's a belief that doesn't work for me. The key to this simple step is to follow it with what you do want. For example, no, I'm not going to think that way. I'm a kind and caring person who deserves to be happy. I'm in the process of discovering my bliss. And you can substitute in there whatever you want to discover. Maybe it's your fortune or your soulmate. Every time you catch yourself with a negative thought, slam on your brakes with a no and follow it with what you want. Do this long enough and those negative thoughts will vanish and the positive ones will infuse your life. And from that place, you will experience what you're focusing on, the positive. Now, I hope you're ready for an infusion of inspiration from my guest, soul stylist Sally Miller. I met her a couple years ago. In that short time, I've seen the transformation she's made in her own life, and I have to tell you that she's an inspiration to me. She helps me keep the creative options flowing. She's a life coach, and she's a mentor. Now, when I first met her, and her partner at the time, Jackie Williams, were part of Soul Sister Circle on Blog Talk Radio, and they were on a mission to break down the walls that surround us and open up that authentic, real-life conversations that bond us together. She's placed her show on hiatus so she can pursue other interests, from the spiritual and metaphysical to Reiki and meditation. Sally's going to help us tonight discover who we really are and what our passions are. Sally, welcome back to Simple Steps.
Thank you, Cheryl. What kind words you spoke there and what inspirational words you spoke there. It was wonderful. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, and I'm really glad that you've come back onto the show. For those who are new to the show or weren't here about a year ago, tell them a little bit about your background, where you've come from, and where you started from.
Wow. Well,
I know, it's a long journey.
It's a long journey, and some people say that my journey gives them whiplash. I went from hairstylist to soul stylist in, I would say, about the last 10 years. I was a hairstylist for about 27 years until one night I came in from doing hair and I said to my husband, I think I'm not going to do this anymore. And I had a pretty large following and I was doing pretty well. And I just had reached a point where I just felt like I wasn't growing anymore, or I wasn't serving as well as I wish to be serving anymore. So I started to go on a journey I thought, well, you know, I'm going to try different things. How else can I serve? So I tried everything from interior design was the first thing. I thought, well, I'm going to help people beautify their homes. I couldn't get to that place that I was trying to get to them from doing their hair. I was always back to the hair. Let me backtrack for a second because this is a really important piece. It wasn't about doing hair. Of course, I love style. I love image. I think it's really important to feel really good about yourself and to always show the best that you can be, always. And styling people's hair helped me do that, but I was always trying to get to this deeper place to people. And what really woke me up is one night I was working on a particular client and she had problems in her life and I was exhausting myself to really help her. I was a life coach before I became a life coach. I just didn't know what a life coach was at that time. and she said after I had spent an hour on, you know, really pouring all my energy into not just making her beautiful, but helping her overcome difficulties in her life, she said to me, you know what? That's really great, but I just don't have time for this. Can you just finish up and make me look good? I really got to go. And I knew right then and there that I just was not getting to that place that I needed to reach in people. I just wasn't getting there. So I thought interior design, well, I'll go in, I'll change up their homes. That'll make them beautiful. I'll teach them that their home should be a reflection of themselves. That didn't last very long. I realized it was kind of taking a turn where I was spending more time cleaning out people's homes and closets instead of making a difference in their lives. So from there, I decided I would study something that had more meaning, feng shui. Feng shui is all about following the natural elements of earth. And feng shui really opened me up to a different realm of spirituality. And it made sense to me that we would follow the natural laws of earth, of nature, and apply them to our life and align our life in that way. And everything seemed to have flow, and it was just magical. So I studied feng shui. It brought me to study fashion feng shui, which is all about the art of dressing with intention. It's about infusing how you feel into your attire and into how you show up in the world. That was life-changing for me. That experience, my teacher's name was Ivana Mongoria, and she was one of my angels because she really pivoted my career at that point because I really felt as though this is it. This is my passion. I can infuse style and spirituality all into one thing. So I got home. From that training, I was all ready. I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to people's closets. I'm going to recreate their lives. And I found out about this life coaching class at the community college about a week later. And I said to my husband, I'm going to go take this course. And he was like, what are you talking about? You just got home from this other course you took. You haven't even really delved into that yet. And I'm like, there's just something calling to me about this. So I went to a life coaching course at the community college. And within, you know, another week, I was signed up for another school, life coaching. And life coaching was another big, huge life-turning experience for me. It made me see and realize that you can actually make a living out of motivating people. You can really use all of that energy and all of that positive energy in ways that can really help shift and transform people's lives in big ways. So with that, I started feeling like, I really got something here. There's really something to this style piece, you know, the image and the way people show up in the world and to the way that they organize their lives and the deeper spiritual aspect. That led me to lots of other studies with deep spiritual teachers. I couldn't get my hands on enough books from everything that Deepak Chopra had written, Wayne Dyer, you name it, all of Gary Zukav, you know, Eckhart Tolle, Marianne Williamson, anything. And I just kept learning and growing. I started the radio show, which was college in itself. Jackie and Desiree Cipollone was also a huge part of Soul Sister Circle for the first year. And we all agreed that Soul Sister Circle was a way for us to learn and grow spiritually in ways that we had never gone to before in our lives. We had on amazing guests. You were one of them, Cheryl. And every guest that we had on opened up another doorway, another gateway to spirituality, another learning lesson. And that, to me, was evolving me, was growing me. Every month, I was somebody different. I realized I had uncovered another layer of Sally. So my spiritual journey just got deeper and deeper, which led me to study energy work because I just became so fascinated on big shifts in people and energy. So I studied Reiki, and that was a 2-year process, and I became a Reiki master. And I also studied crystals and became certified in crystal healing. And now I am on a journey of becoming a yogi. I've always done yoga my whole life, but I've never known yoga. So I've been studying yoga deeply over the last few months. And I'm just infusing all of these teachings into the big picture, which I believe is soul style.
Well, Sally, as I sit and listen to you, and I think anyone that is hearing your entire journey, you have been so excited by all of these new dimensions that have come at you one way, shape, or form. Because it's like you see this, you're in a candy store and you want to try everything. What have you learned about Sally through all of this?
Oh, man. I have learned that I'm not one thing.
There you go.
And that is so important. I really believe that we are many things. We are constantly changing. You're not the same person you were yesterday, nor last week, nor last year, or when you were 20. You know, we're constantly evolving, and every time you learn something new, you change. It changes something in you. Sometimes you just read a quote, and it changes you within seconds. So learning that I am not one thing, and that, you know, evolving is part of our process as human beings. And I've learned to have great courage. You know, change is scary.
You've had to have courage in the face of your family, who has just, as you described it when we talked, which your family thought you were crazy with all these changes. How did you deal with that?
They sure did. They thought I had lost my mind. And guess what? I did too sometimes. I was growing so rapidly and so fast that nobody could really keep up with me. I couldn't even keep up with myself at times. And I would often check in with myself and get down on myself and think, what am I doing? Does this make sense? Why can't I hold on to just one thing? Because I was told by many times by many family and friends, you know, everything you're doing is great, but just choose one and stick with it.
And I want to say, why? The world is filled with so many exciting opportunities that you've really embraced the ones that have called you, and you don't have to be limited to one thing.
I agree with you. I know that with every part of my being. And I just couldn't. Something inside of me just couldn't. I just had to keep going, and I had to keep learning. And, you know, my mom actually told me that I was meditating myself crazy. She said, you know, everybody thinks you're crazy, you know, and that you're meditating yourself nuts over there. And, you know, it's funny. I'm chuckling now, but it wasn't funny. It wasn't funny during the time. It was actually very painful and hurtful. And every time I heard a friend make a comment, it made me second guess my journey, right? Every time anybody gives us so-called advice, it makes you question where you're going, your own path. But I know that I needed to keep going. And you know what? Sure, I made mistakes along the way. Sure, you know, I've definitely made a fool of myself many times. I tripped and fallen and gotten back up. And I think that was the biggest fear for my family and friends, especially people who love you. You know, they want to protect you. So they want to keep you safe. And what's more safe than for people? Stay the same.
Stay the
same.
Don't
change.
Well, and there's a whole concept out there that it sounds like you embrace fully, and that's the fact that there's a difference between a comfort zone and a safety zone. And everything that you're talking about doing was never outside of your safety zone, but it was outside of their comfort zone.
Yes. Yes, very much outside of their comfort zone. And I think when you're really on a spiritual journey and you're just putting everything out there, and I'm the type of person that my life is really an open book. I really do put everything out there. So talking about spirituality and learning to evolve and grow and play with it is a very weird place for a lot of people. It's unfamiliar, and some things seem woo-woo. So there's a lot of labels and there's a lot of judgments out there.
And there's a lot of fear. How do you help your clients deal with that fear of changing?
You know, that is different for everybody. It really is. Now, it's so custom to the individual. You know, somebody like me, I was going after it, you know, in ways that might be a little too aggressive for some people. But I tell my clients that they must follow this burning desire. They must. Mm-hmm. They have to go after it because they won't feel settled or fulfilled if they don't. You know, life is quick. It happens fast. And you don't want to be filled with regrets at the end of your journey, you know, laying on your deathbed, wishing that you would have tried this, wishing you would have done that, wishing you would have reached out to that one person, wishing you would have loved more, feared less. You just can't get any of that back. This is it.
I'm sitting here listening because you're saying exactly what I think we all know in some way, shape, or form. It's not what you do, it's what you don't do that will bother you more. And especially as you're saying, going forward, it's like, okay, I've always wanted to do, be something in my life, but I didn't do it because of family responsibilities, or I needed to have a real job, or I needed to be responsible. How do you help folks work through those expectations from others, because that's what they are?
Yes, it is. Most of our lives we spend living for other people. And it's because we are living through what they expect from us. You're absolutely right with that statement. We always deliver what we think other people want. So are we really delivering what we want? Are we really delivering our truth, our authentic selves to anyone if we're doing that? No.
And that's an interesting comment, because you're standing there, you're a mother of three, and they're watching all of these evolutions of you and the development of you, but they still have expectations of you as a mom. How do you reconcile those two?
Phew. in regards to my family, my children,
sure.
Are you asking that? Yeah.
Yes.
I think my children learn from me being authentic and being real with them and telling them, I've learned now that things that I might expect from them are my wishes, my dreams, my desires, not necessarily theirs. So, you know, it's just opens up a much larger dialogue for us to have common ground and common respect for each other, where they can see my dreams and my wishes, and I can see theirs too. And we can have respect for that space in between.
And isn't it wonderful? Because I am sure that your children see what you're going through, and you really are a role model, and you're kind of like the fun mom. It's like, you know what? I'm going to go try. I'm going to go experiment. It may not work out, but that's okay. We learn more about ourselves. So that's a gift that you're giving your children and your clients and anyone that knows you. That's a really wonderful way to live a life. I'm just...
Is there any other way to live? I mean, really, you know?
Well, living is the question, isn't it? Because I know as someone who sat here and believed that I had to follow the expectations that were set out for me for so many years, I was well into my 50s before I realized that I didn't. And that was, now, I had no children that I had to influence during that period of time, but we do. We sit there and we live by others' expectations, and somewhere along the line, we hopefully wake up and go, wait a second, this is my life, not someone else's life, and how do I then get to me? So what then do you, what is your advice for those that, you know, get later on in life and they haven't experimented, and now they don't know how, they don't know where to start? What would you tell them to do?
First of all, to let go of the stories. That was one big thing for me in the beginning of my journey. Somebody asked me to write my story, my legacy. And when I wrote that, I realized how much I had lived in the perception of others. And, you know, that is not an authentic space to be in. And you are not living your own life when you are doing that. So I always tell people you must let go of the stories and live from your heart, from your passions. You know, we all have a seed inside of us. Everybody has their own seed. I like to call this seed their soul style. And this seed is unique to each individual. Nobody shares the two, a seed, not even twins. They don't have the same seed. Everybody has their own soul. And you have your own identity in the world. You have your own purpose. And the only way you will fully serve in this world is if you are pulling all of your authenticity from that place, if you're fully speaking your truth at all times. And believe me, this is something that I work on every day. This is no easy task to live from your truth every day because you're constantly worried, am I going to hurt somebody's feelings if I'm not living to their expectation of me? But really, you're not living to the full potential of yourself if you're not being truthful with others and truthful with yourself. And when people get to that place where they can, it's just that first initial of standing up for themselves and saying no, like you were speaking in the beginning of the show, that is the first step. There's something so powerful about that word. No.
And it is a full sentence.
Yes,
you can stop with no. Well, let me ask you a question, because as you're talking about, you know, living from our souls, and we run into this so often, is people have listened to others. They have listened to societal expectations that have been laid down, that they don't even know how to hear their own voice of their soul. How do you help them do that?
Oh, man, that is so true. It is a noisy world, is it not?
It is.
It's a very noisy, noisy world. And we have lots of outside influence coming at us all the time from the social media, our computers, our cell phones, the TV, influence from, you know, everything. It's so busy out there. And the only way for me that has really worked is meditation. And when I stepped up my I've been meditating for a few years now, but I stepped up my meditation practice, I guess about a year ago, because I got to a place where I needed to get to a deeper area of self. I wanted to get to a deeper layer of truth of me. And the only way to that was to really get quiet, for real, get quiet. And meditation is the only way to that, and it can completely change your life. And I know a lot of people get scared about meditation. They think, you know, first of all, people are petrified of silence because it's so noisy out there. They're scared to death of silence, almost afraid to hear the truth.
And in some cases, as we talk through meditation, it comes to a place, especially if you haven't done it in the past, that people will give up because they think they have to spend 30 minutes or an hour, and everything has to be silent, and you have to push away everything. And starting meditation practice is a little simpler than that. You may develop into, as you say, you've advanced your practice over the course of the times, but we truly have to just be still to start and understand that that is coming forward, and just being still and starting to listen and hear the voice, hear our soul, takes practice in itself. So, you know, we're coming up on a break right now. So what I'd like to do when we come back is talk a little bit more about getting into a meditation practice and how what you've learned with Reiki and your other experiences can help us find our soul. So we'll be back in a few minutes. Stay tuned.
My name is Ruth Rusey, and this is how I live United. I read to children as part of United Way's education program. It helps them create links between language and literacy and prepares them for a better academic future. I figure I have the time and they have the need. My name is Ruth Rusey. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
This heavyweight bout is about to begin. What's the champ wearing? Looks like an examination gown. And from the back...
ooh, that's not pretty.
Champ, what's with the getup?
I've got to take care of my family, so I'm getting those important medical screenings.
The fight is over. Champ, you look pretty healthy out there tonight.
But I'm still getting those tests. For a list of tests you need, go to ahrq.gov. And remember, real men wear gowns.
Go to ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AHRQ, and the Ad Council.
My name is Ruth Rusey, and this is how I live United. I read to children as part of United Way's education program. It helps them create links between language and literacy and prepares them for a better academic future. I figure I have the time and they have the need. My name is Ruth Rusey. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Cheryl Maloney, and welcome back to Simple Steps, Real Change. We're here tonight with our guest, soul stylist Sally Miller. If you'd like to call in and talk to Sally, our phone number is 248-809-3475, or you can email me at simplesteps@me.com, and we'll get your questions over to Sally. Well, before we left on break, we were talking about helping to listen to our soul, be able to dig in and hear the voice of our soul. So, Sally, for anybody who's new to these practices, where do you suggest they start and how?
Well, you first make the decision to meditate, number one. Have the willingness to get silent. Have the desire to hear what's in your soul and have the courage to listen to the truth. You know, because it does take courage. A lot of times what you hear when you get silent is how much you've been living falsely, to put it kindly. Mm-hmm. We wear a lot of layers in life, right? And these layers keep building up and building up and building up. And what meditation, Reiki, healing, all of that does is just helps us peel back the layers so that we can get back to our essence, to our authentic self. So the first step would be just making that choice to say, I am willing to return back to oneness. I want to be whole again. And meditation will take you there. I always, I have a little tip list for people when they meditate. First of all, you must find a space that you will meditate in. A lot of times you can say, I'm going to get up every day and I'm going to meditate. Okay, well, you're probably not going to do that unless you have a location to go to. So whether it's a special little chair or you roll out your yoga mat or you just sit on the floor next to your bed, whatever it is, I try to encourage people to really create a sacred space and I call it sacred because that's what it is. This is where you're connecting with source, very sacred. So my altar looks like this. I have a chair, and I have a little altar. It's actually an end table, but I call it my altar. And on that altar, I have crystals, a few little crystals, rose quartz crystal, amethyst crystal, clear quartz, and some other ones. And I have a positive affirmation book from Louise Hay that I love. And I have a picture of my family. And I have a candle and a little incense. And sometimes I have oils there. And I always have, I have a little clock next to me that I can set the timer on. Mm. So having this special place every day, that's exactly where I go to. So when you sit to meditate every day, you want to make sure that you're comfortable. And I encourage people to sit, not lay down. Because when we lay down, we tend to get a little sleepy. We fall asleep.
I was going to say, I'm falling asleep if I'm laying down.
I know, it's true. So if we're sitting up straight, making sure your spine is straight and energy is flowing freely from the base of your spine to the crown of your head, and closing your eyes and just get in touch with your breath. Just start there. Start with 3 minutes. Close your eyes and just think about your breath. Follow your breath in and follow your breath out. And friend your thoughts. We are thinking machines. You will never turn the thoughts in your brain off, ever. And I think that's a big thing for people. They say, well, I sit down and, you know, the voices in my head, they just don't shut up. I just
they keep
can't
talking
get them
to me.
Yeah, they just keep talking away. And that is okay. It's never going to end. But the one thing that I always ask people to take notice of, and this is always just one of them things that makes them go, the minute you realize you're having a thought, the minute you say to yourself, oh, I'm thinking, then you know you are not your thoughts.
Oh. So you're telling them that the minute they realize they're actually having a thought, they're separate from the thought.
They are.
Am I understanding?
Okay. Yes, you are separate from the thought. So, you know, you're having a dialogue. Well, who are you having this dialogue with? Your thoughts are not who you are. You're having this dialogue with your soul, but your poor soul can't get a word in edgewise because your thoughts just don't shut up. So I always tell people, invite your thoughts in. Invite them in. So when they come in and you sit and you're like, I really should have brushed my teeth before I sat here. And then you just say, okay, I'm having a thought. I'm just going to let that go. Oh, I really got this to-do list today. And you let the thoughts come in, and then you let them go. You practice the art of letting them go. And it seems like a ping pong match at first. Really, you when you first start meditating, you do believe that you're kind of maybe a little crazy because you're not really sure, is this thought, is this soul, what's kind of happening here? And I promise if you just stay with it, just stay with it. Every day you will realize your thoughts seem to know, they know when to sit. They become like a dog and they become quieter. And you find this place of stillness. A beautiful thing to do with meditation is to have a mantra or just an affirmation that you can repeat to yourself while you're sitting in silence. It can be, I am happy. I choose love. My life is perfect and beautiful, and it's rolling out just as the universe has planned for me. Whatever it is, you can make it up, or you can pick it out of a book. I like to use Sanskrit mantras, which is deeper, and I won't go there. But you can practice repeating your little mantra, your little affirmation. So it brings you back from your thought. You're having a thought, and then you go back to your affirmation. You're having a thought and you realize, okay, I'm having a thought, and you go back to your affirmation.
Well, in doing this, just a quick question. In doing this, you're really substituting what you want in your heart and your soul as opposed to the thoughts that have come around from everyday life, aren't you?
Absolutely. And you're training your thoughts to slow down. And there's this little space in between thought. And it's called the gap, as Deepak Chopra calls it. And that is what we're looking to dip into every once in a while. We're looking to broaden that space in between thoughts. Right now, if you took your pointer finger and your thumb and you squished them together really hard, that's what your thoughts are doing. And your poor soul is just like dying to wedge them open a little bit just to get like one morsel of breath in between your thoughts. And meditation helps widen that just a little teeny bit. And it's actually been proven that just a millisecond of experiencing a little bit of gap in between thoughts will reduce the stress in your life by 80%.
Oh, now that's just amazing, because when you think if you can do this, even if it's only to start for 5 minutes a day, and it'll have that great stress reduction benefit, don't we all have 5 minutes a day we can find to make that happen?
It'll make the biggest difference in your life. You will start living for yourself. You'll start feeling more connected to soul, more connected to spirit. You really feel as though you're a part of a bigger plan in life. And you start following your intuition more. Your intuition is when your soul speaks to you. You start hearing things much more clearly. You start noticing the synchronicities in your life. And you just start feeling a different type of flow. You start operating off of a different frequency. And it really changes your life.
You are truly seeing life differently. When you begin to meditate and you allow that gap and allow that opening, you start to see life differently. So you're just talking about synchronicities, which so many people will go, that's just a coincidence. Well, there are none. So the synchronicities that you see are just more signs that you are in touch with your soul.
Yes. But a lot of times people are not aware of the synchronicities, or they dismiss them because they're just too busy. Their mind's too busy. You know, they're too busy usually living for other people, living for what they feel their boss needs from them, their spouse needs from them, their children needs from them, society needs from them. The list goes on and on and on.
And so we try and... Go ahead.
No, I just can't... I am so passionate about meditation. I think it's the only way to begin your journey back to self. It is such an integral part of my daily practice. And it's also, you know, it's changing my whole family dynamics. You know, I see my children sit and meditate, and how it changes their stress levels. And my own mother.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell the story about your mother.
Yes, even my mother, who is a little bit of a skeptic with meditation, you know, she really believes that we need to find this space. You know, she is somebody who has a lot of fears, and you know, she really fears change, and she's coming up on that time in her life where she's retiring soon, and, you know, there's a lot of big things ahead of her, and the stress levels can get pretty crazy. And, you know, when you get older and the stress levels are getting crazy, what else happens? Your health just falls
health
apart.
Suffers. And wasn't
your health
this,
starts,
this was one of the people who thought you were crazy when you were doing all the meditation.
She sure did.
She's converted.
Sure did. Yes, she has. And I'm a big believer in oracle cards. They're not woo-woo. They're not tarot cards. And what they are Dali affirmation cards. I believe I love to work with them. I work with them with my clients. I believe it calls in spirit. It calls in law of attraction. And it, when you flip that card and it says something, it makes you go to that place within yourself and answer some deep questions.
Well, explain a little bit what oracle cards are, because before I talked to you, I had never heard of them. So I suspect there's a lot in our audience that have never heard them either.
Yeah, there's, oracle cards, I think probably the most famous person who created oracle cards is Doreen Virtue. And she is an intuitive and an angel communicator. So she was my first introductory to oracle cards. And Healing with the Angels was my very first deck by Doreen Virtue. And for me, it was, I'm getting in touch with my spirit guides, with my angels. If they have a message for me, I'm going to hear it. This is the vehicle they're going to provide it through, because I am affirming that this is the vehicle that they will they will use to deliver a message to me. And the message would be as simple as, you know, read more, go have fun, connect with nature, or it can be something like, you are seeing this situation, are you seeing the situation accurately? It asks you these questions, and it makes you just take a little bit of a deeper look into your soul. And it also affirms faith. You know, we have to believe. We have to believe that there is a higher power working out there for our highest good. They want us to succeed. They want us to be the best possible we that we can be. Because when we are being the best that we can be, their job's getting done, and the world is becoming a better place. So, you know, I love oracle cards because they affirm this deeper sense of faith, faith on something of the unseen. You know, we're controlling society. We love to control, control, control. And having faith, using oracle cards or even crystals, it brings you to a different place where you kind of have to believe in the unseen. Believe that there's a bigger power out there working for all of us, for the greater good.
Well, and through all of this, as I'm sitting and listening to you, because I've been indoctrinated a little bit more over the course of the years of all of this, and when you say they want us to succeed, we are truly they. We are part of this large connective, whether someone calls it God, your higher power, the universe, we are all part of this.
We sure are. We sure are. We're all part of it, and we're all deeply connected. You know, we have the seen and the unseen in life. You can't see air, right?
But you know
we
it's
all
there.
Need it. Yeah.
That's right.
You know it's there. You trust it's there. You don't even think about it. You just breathe. It's just the inevitable. You know, it's just time. I think it's really time that we all, that our whole planet actually wakes up to understanding that, you know, we need to work with all of the forces of nature. You know, we need to take everything in and not just the tangible things, all the stuff that we've created over time, and really start calling on some more faith.
And this year, it seems to be, this is the year that everyone starts to say, this is the year of this shift in perception and this shift in what's going on in that greater world, that greater universe. But the truth is, we're just maybe recognizing it's been going on all along, but more and more people are recognizing the value of meditation and listening to the soul and being part of that larger universe, that collective of souls that are out there. And what you're showing us is really a way to tap into that ourselves individually, because once we do, we can see the bigger picture. We can see the universe that we're just a part of, but we are the universe.
Miracles happen. Miracles happen.
Yes.
And I am living proof of that. My journey has been living proof of that. You know, miracles happen when you start believing and you start having faith and you start following your soul's guidance and your intuition. People show up. Lessons show up. All these things start occurring in your life, just laying down this beautiful path in front of you. And some of it's, you know, not always easy. But if you keep following the path, there is deep gratitude. Deep gratitude for your lessons, for every lesson that comes your way, every challenging relationship or challenging job. And, you know, you start seeing the fruit of life. You know, you realize that life is really fun. You feel more free.
In the last year, since you've moved away and into this next round, what do you think is the biggest change in you since you've kind of put the radio show on hiatus and you've been exploring this? What's been the biggest impact on your life?
Oh, wow. I think freedom. Freedom. Not feeling the need to apologize for my growth or make excuses for who I am now on my journey. And just having the freedom to be me has been the greatest gift in the world. It's just opened so many doors. you know, and life just keeps getting better and better. I just got back from the Chopra Center from California yesterday. That was on my vision board for 2 years. It was a really big deal for me to get there. And, you know, life just keeps unfolding in this way for me now, because I am choosing to listen to soul, listen to my spirit, and, you know, live from that authentic space of myself and to not be afraid. I know that something bigger has my back, and I don't have to be afraid.
Isn't that a wonderful way to look at it? And you're the first person that I've ever heard say that. And it's like, something bigger has my back. And that truly, when you, it is a security. It truly is, because you know, one, you know you're not alone. And two, there's this larger power that wants you to be successful. It's part of who and what you are, but it's rooting for you.
Yes.
So you spent a week, what was it, a week at the Chopra Center?
I did. I spent a good 5 days at the Chopra Center, yes.
What did you learn? What was one thing that you walked away from and said, this is changing what I'm doing? What'd you learn?
I learned more information on meditating and more scientific research. Deepak Chopra is a scientist. He's a big science buff. So he's in the market of bridging spirituality and science, which I think is beautiful, because we're always questioning, are we not? You know, we're always like, okay, that sounds great, but, you know, and he kind of gives you the facts from, you know, from the benefits of meditating, the benefits of connecting with soul and spirit. And it was just an absolutely incredible experience to meditate and do yoga every day and listen to these incredible spiritual teachers talk every day with great speakers. It would be impossible for me to pinpoint one thing. It really would.
It was a week of high points, is what you're telling me.
It was a week of high points, but I think that it was residing in that group of collective consciousness. There was about 150 people, maybe a little less, on the retreat. And the power was the group. The power was us. Sure. You know, the spiritual teachers were phenomenal, but the power was the collective energy of the group. And that was moving, to do yoga with all these people, to chant with all these people, to sing with all these people, to look around the room and see their faces. You know, as many times I turned around and I sat in the front row every day I got there early, made sure I sat right in the front row, right in front of the people. And I would turn around and always take a scan around the room just to take it all in. And the looks on their faces, you know, everybody was in such a beautiful space. And it was just so lovely, so welcoming and so warm. And you can't help but wonder if we could all kind of live that way, you know, if that collective energy could just spread out, if people could really, really find it in their heart to embrace some level of spirituality in their life, what would the world be like?
It surely would be a much different place. Well, one thing that you mentioned that I kind of want to circle back to, because this is something that I've embraced as of late, but you talked about that you had this experience to go to the Chopra Center and your vision board for 2 years.
Yeah.
So this is a concept, and people hear all the time about vision boards now, but how do you use yours? Tell us a little bit about yours, because I think as we learn those that are powerful for someone such as yourself, we can help to integrate them with ours or start one.
Yes, I teach vision board workshops. They are powerful. I have gone through several vision boards already, not seven, several. And the reason why I go through them is because I manifest everything that I place on my board. It is a powerful thing to have these affirmations, visual affirmations that you put on a board for yourself. Right now I'm looking at my vision board and it's pretty empty. It's January. I'm in the process of recreating it. So I was taking off the things that I had done last year and you know, opening up space for new things, for new possibilities. And I had gone to many of the places that I wished to have gone to. I had studied most of the things that I wish I had wanted to study. I had even gotten material things that I really wanted. I had a picture of these beautiful shoes that I've been wanting for a while, and I got them. So happy about that. And primordial sound meditation is something that the Deepak Chopra Center has created, and they teach it. And that has been something that I really wanted to learn. That was on my vision board, to learn that and become a teacher in that. And I am so happy now that that's something I can actually not take off my vision board, but move into another location.
Because now you're going to teach it.
Now I will teach it. Now I will, you know, when we learn, we are to teach. That's, you know, everything you bring inside yourself that makes sense, you're meant to bring to others. So
do you look at your vision board every day?
Every day, every single day. And I encourage people, when you create a vision board, you put it in a place in your house that you have to look at it every single day. I like pin boards instead of gluing things on, because sometimes you want to move things around your vision board. I'm a Virgo. That's my astrological sign. So I like to be very organized. And my board is broken down into groups, from fun, travel, to, you know, passions, to career, to teachings. And I like pin boards because I can move things around. Some things that were fun, I might actually move over into my career sector. Or things that were in my career sector, I might move over into my passion sector. Who knows?
It is part of that flexibility and all of those changes and iterations that you embrace from every aspect of your life.
Yeah, I mean, you can't stop change, you know? I mean, it's going to occur whether you like it or not, so you might as well go with the flow.
And you happen to love it. Well, what's up for 2013 for Sally? What's on your vision board?
Oh, my gosh. Well, like I said, it's kind of empty right now. You know, well, it's not empty. There's a lot of spaces here. But as I'm looking at it right now, I have California on there, so I can take that off because I was there last week. Woohoo! Making some room. And I have some other places to travel to and that I'm actually going to this year, which is exciting. I have some different career things on my vision board. I want to really start focusing on teaching some workshops in my area a lot more, working with Reiki and yoga, doing some positive motivational workshops with team groups, teaching meditation. Really want to get out and make a little bit more of, I want to teach in person. You know, before I always thought teleclassing would be my way. And now as I'm looking at my vision board, I can see that the theme is I want to get out there right now.
You want to be in front of people so they can see and feel your energy. And my guess is, coming out of the Chopra Center, you would even feel more like wanting to be in front of a group because the power of being in person.
Absolutely. It's such a powerful thing to be in person. And I'd love to do, you know, more group working rather than I've been doing private coaching for a while, and I love private coaching. And I know you do that as well. And there's nothing better than making an impact on somebody's life, but I'd really like to get out there and make impacts in large groups, and especially with teens.
That would be your love. Well, tell folks where they can reach you and your website, that information, so they know how to get a hold of Sally Miller.
Sure. I have a website, Sally Miller Soul Stylist. You can always check me out there to learn a little bit about me. My website is currently outdated at the moment, and I am looking for a programmer to help me if anybody out there is listening. The best way to get a hold of me and to see what I'm up to is Facebook. You can check me out at Sally Miller Soul Stylist on Facebook. That's my fan page, and that's where I'll be posting all the upcoming workshops that I'll be working on over the next couple months. And that's the best way to find out where in the world is Sally Miller and what the heck is she doing now?
Well, and whatever Sally Miller's doing is going to be another inspiring change and evolution. And you truly do. I look at everything you're doing and the passion that you have for just embracing change. And I know you inspire me. So I'm so grateful that you decided you could be on the show and had the time for us tonight. So thank you.
Oh, thank you, Cheryl. Thank you so much for all the beautiful light work that you spread out into the world and all the inspiration. You have been my inspiration on my journey, so thank you.
Isn't it interesting how we meet the people that we need to meet at a certain time, and there are no coincidences, there are synchronicities, and the way you and I got together, that was one of those synchronicities that I know I'm always blessed for. Well, Sally, thank you so much. Have a wonderful week. Everyone, thank you so much for being here. Next week on the show, we are going to welcome Rochelle Sotan from Tuesday Morning Love. She's a poet, a publisher, an author, and a very inspirational woman. So have a wonderful week, and make it a week that you embrace your passion. Thanks for listening.